thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. With me in studio are certified financial planners, Tyler Cook and Tony Payne. And today we're diving into why an estate plan is not enough on its own and how a strong family governance system in place helps everything stay on track. If you've ever had a situation where you've got multiple family members that are in disagreement about the way things should go as far as upon your passing, this show's for you. So estate planning without governance, without family governance, is like a car without a driver. There's the analogy.
There's a lot of cars without drivers now, though, Tracy.
Yeah, well, I would never trust that personally, as you know me well enough to know that is not going to be on my bucket list.
Well,
but
governance is one of those big words. So
yeah, first thing I wanted to break down.
So you think about like a corporate board or something. If they're all the same family, they all have the same last name. I don't think of that as great governance sometimes, at least for a publicly traded company. Because how are you really being independent? How are you really making decisions? So when we think about governance in a broader sense, the idea is not just equal or fair, but also is it truly independent? And independent governance, especially in this family setup, you know, that's where have I thought it through? Is there a system in place that's realistic aside from just on paper? You know, we'll go through some examples here, but it may look great on paper, but the governance structure may not really be real.
Yeah. And in tandem with that, I want to break down what a good estate plan looks like. We just shoot a bullet list of things that should be on people's radar from an estate planning perspective. So living will, right?
There's four basic ones. It's the last will and testament, your living will, power of attorney, which we think of that for financial matters, and then a power of attorney for healthcare.
And those are separate.
Those are all four different documents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's other things we can get into it.
Right.
Those are the core piece to it. Sometimes you get into trust planning and other things like that. But mm-hmm. I think more important than having the documents is kind of what we're getting to on the governance piece is who are you listing in those roles?
Right.
Are they the right fit? Mm-hmm. If you have siblings, is there going to be some potential infighting? How do you prevent those things and maybe have some control beyond the grave? So there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. Okay. So the missing piece, why an estate plan alone isn't enough. So say you've signed your estate documents and everything's buttoned up nice and tidy. What happens when the family doesn't understand the plan or worse disagrees with it? If you've got more than one offspring or more than one, individual that you're creating a legacy for upon your passing.
So we'll say this. Let's say you've done your estate plan. It's a well-drafted document. You saw these wonderful estate planners with the marble floors downtown and everything. You paid a really pretty penny for all of it. That's not it. That's not enough. You've listed two children who don't talk to each other. And they're co-executors in this. They're trustees together in this. They're co-beneficiaries in this. Maybe there's property they own together that they might inherit together, or they don't own it yet that they've never had to deal with it yet, but they're going to inherit it and they don't even talk to each other. I mean, I can't help but think of a better example of a lack of governance structure, but having a perfect plan laid out. Everything's there, but if they're already contentious before money gets involved and decisions are to be made, that seems like a poor governance structure.
And we're not attorneys, but there are suggested ways you can go about it.
Yeah, and even the opposite side of that. Let's say things are great now. What's to say they don't fall apart later? I've seen that happen. In-laws get in the picture, get in somebody's ear. People change. Money changes people. You hear that all the time. It's very real when it comes to emotional times like the death of a parent and an inheritance scenario. So you have to think both sides of that. It's good now, could go south later, or it's terrible now, maybe it gets better in the future. But there are structures and strategies you can implement now to put some guardrails on it. I don't know that you can ever prevent if somebody really wants to be difficult and contest things. I don't know that there's ever a way to really button that up to a situation where it can't be time consuming and belabor the point and take time to have things settle out. But you can do your best to put some guardrails in place and hopefully steer the conversation when you're not there to something that's productive.
And that kind of starts with, and you're leading to my next point, that kind of starts with creating the system now. Mm-hmm. So not just having the conversations, but doing what?
Well, I would say making sure that the plan is cohesive. Mm-hmm. And it's not just having the documents. I keep saying that. It's not just the documents, but you own that property. You have that 401k. Are the beneficiaries listed in accordance with your documents? If those are out of date and maybe they list an ex-spouse or they list a child who's passed, You know, there could be things very complicated there that are outside of your estate plan that now you've created a big mess because you didn't have a cohesive plan.
Mm-hmm. Quick story on that. When I saw a scenario years ago, somebody listed the oldest child as the primary beneficiary in their 401k. Well, there were three siblings. The reason why the parent who passed away did that was because that was the oldest child and thought that they could take care of everything the easiest, right? They were the older one. Created a huge nightmare because, as we know, it doesn't matter what your will says. If you, whoever you list on your beneficiary for your 401k, it passes directly to them regardless of what your will says or those fancy documents, Tony. Yeah. So that was a huge mistake because now how do you get money to the other two siblings? Mm-hmm. Only way you can do it is take a taxable distribution, which screws up their planning, you know, the one person's planning, to then get money to the other two siblings. So you can have the best intentions, but if you don't execute, it means nothing.
I'll tell you something I did not know until I was 58 years old, which was a long time ago. And that is that when you open a checking or savings account, there's no beneficiary assigned to that automatically. Those folks are not trained or on deck to tell you, do you want a beneficiary or transfer on death for this account? You have to go back in and make sure that they are aligned, or your entire estate goes into probate if that's left unattended. I did not know that.
Well, and it always depends. I mean, in legal things, we can't say definites, but things like that.
Mr. Compliance.
Well, it's right. It's true, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, you wouldn't want to transfer on death if you have a very complicated plan, because then it automatically goes somewhere. You might have other things going. So, again, the idea of it's available, and I think that's the real point, mm-hmm. just knowing the availability of it, because that difference of what kind of things are contract assets? Mm-hmm. You know, the idea is, where can I list a beneficiary? And that's the key word, a beneficiary, versus when is it a transfer on death, a payable on death? You know, that's a different kind of asset mm-hmm. that, like you said, it might go through the will, it could go through probate and be expensive, be mm-hmm. public. So depending upon what kind of asset it is, mm-hmm. what it is, it depends on how am I going to set it up so it goes to the next person the right way.
Mm-hmm. Right. I actually know of a situation as well where somebody had a pension, and there was an annuity buried in the pension. So when the power of attorney documents were handed over upon helping this person with their estate, the company did not allude to the point person that this existed, and the owner didn't remember it existing. So when the person passed away, it threw the entire estate into probate because the annuity was beneficiaried over to a deceased ex-spouse.
Mm. So that's a problem.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. So you know, you really have to do your homework, make sure that all of the paperwork is done properly, and call and ask the questions. Is there anything else tied to this account that needs to be addressed? Because they're not going to offer it up.
No, not at all. I think that's a big governance issue. It's what can you do present day versus upon your passing? And the next piece to that, I think, would be using a scenario where there's siblings, is family meetings, talking through those things, making sure it's very clear that here's why I picked so-and-so to be the trustee, or here's why I didn't. I think if you have those open conversations, it'll limit some of the confusion in the future and perhaps the infighting.
Mm-hmm. And if you're worried about the fight at the family meeting, imagine the fight when they read the will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you can't have the family meeting and you're thinking that that's too much to share, it's going to be contentious, think about the problem you're setting up in the future.
Right.
So the idea, too, of the governance you might set up, it may not matter if things aren't flowing into your plan. So back to the beneficiaries, the ownership, all the things you were mentioning there, if those aren't buttoned up, you might even have a great governance structure. But if that thing is outside of it, it may not matter.
Mm-hmm.
We see that a lot when people get into complex trust planning. They forget the second half of the process. They go meet with the attorney, do the drafts, spend the time listing people. That's step one. Step two is what's called trust funding, which is actually implementing that trust into your plan, like updating asset ownership, titling, it could be beneficiary designations, all sorts of things. Well, oftentimes, there's a big gap there. And unfortunately, we see attorneys that'll just do the documents and kind of just pass it off and be done with it, wash their hands, and they're done. The reality is a good attorney will walk you through the second half of that on updating
so
beneficiary
designations.
So you're
saying take Joey's name off of it and put the beneficiary as the trust?
It depends on the scenario. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. a trust, sometimes it's a spouse, sometimes there's contingencies involved. There's a lot there. But if you don't do that, you spent $10,000 on documents for nothing.
Yeah.
even things like your timeshare, your condo, yeah. I mean, stuff like that that has a contract that you own that has a value to it, those are all examples, like you were saying, that could throw off the estate, make you have to take off of work, go through the headache and heartache, and it might not even be that valuable of an asset.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a great point on the back end with the governance piece. If you think you're doing all the right things now with listing, you know, co-executors in your example, or siblings where they have to get along, if that doesn't play out the way you hope it will, then on the back end, what ends up happening? Well, it's time and money. Attorney fees start racking up. You think attorneys were expensive to draft the documents. They really make their money on the back end when people pass away.
Yeah.
And so that's that. If you can save time and money now, that's great. But think about the bigger picture, because it's, if there's going to be delay, your wishes aren't being carried out. The money's not going to the next generation because of some type of a holdup. And you just overlook those things in the time while you were here, and you could influence some of the thought process.
Yeah. That ties into the next point, communicating legacy values beyond the assets. So let's say you want your wealth to reflect more than the numbers. And how do you pass that along with, you know, how do you pass along what matters most without just writing it in a will? What kinds of things can people do?
That might be bigger than financial planning. That might be parenting, or that might be relationship management. Again, you can write all these things down.
Let's give it sort of a tangible scenario.
Well, I don't know that there is. If you think about what Walt Disney valued and his heirs and what they can do with their money, and, you know, you've got a complete diversity in the Walmart heirs. I mean, the idea that they did things the right way, but they maybe have people that aren't practicing the same values as their original people. What could they do differently? Even the Rockefeller family. I mean, there's only so much you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality of just owning that, and rather than let me write this perfect thing out and feel good about it, and then when I die, it doesn't mean much. That's where I was coming from.
Remember the old, have you ever seen an old will from the turn of the century where there were, you can have this as long as you do with it a certain.
They were
very, very specific about what they wanted done with their
assets. I won't
go
into details, but they were very specific and not in great ways sometimes. So we're aware.
Yeah, even in trust planning now too, you can put provisions in there that if somebody has to be, can't be on, drugs, and they have to have a certain career, you can get that customized with it now if you really wanted to. Now, will the trustee actually carry out your wishes? That's the governance piece. You just don't know. So that's why naming the people, making sure they're aware of what their role is and what the responsibility is on the back end is critical to do today. You can't leave that for when you're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take a real example here. It's going on right now. It's public, so I feel like we're not sharing any private details here. But right now, Jimmy Buffett's estate is in the news. And again, this is somebody with millions of dollars, great estate attorneys, all the tools available. But it comes down to corporate governance, really, in the estate. The financial advisor is not getting along with the spouse. The spouse wants to have the trustee, the financial advisor, removed. And there's disputes about how much money so-and-so should get, where money should be spent, how much money am I entitled to versus other children or charities, and, how is the business doing? How are we running the business? You can imagine you were the spouse. You were making decisions with your co-partner right then, and all that power almost gets taken away where, I hate to say I'm almost like a child, but here's your allowance, here's your this, here's your that. And again, with great intentions, I think, you set this thing up, and a couple of years later, now it's, attorney fees, very public, things you may not ever want to have in the news might be out there because it's now a public court case.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of examples of governance where you might have that perfect plan and the values laid out, but mm-hmm. you've got to pick people and think about the people involved.
I want to touch on one point you mentioned too with the business, because that's something I wasn't thinking of yet. But if you're a business owner too, that often how that business passes on to the next generation is outside of your will and your trust and those things. It's operating agreements. It's other documents that get in the mix too. So understanding that piece is huge. I think of like the Margaritaville Empire.
Yeah, no.
And what's going on? But the idea there is it's not just the documents we mentioned earlier. It's not just the bank account situation you mentioned too. If you're a business owner, it's another complexity you have to look into.
And to go back to your question, Tracy, about what's tangible, I mean, there are some tangible things. You're right. And Tyler, you hit it a couple, a buy-sell agreement in a business. You think about you have three children. One of them's been in the business since they were 12. The other two went off to school, did their own things. One's floundering or something. The other is running that business and doing great. Well, when you die, do they divide it by three? And now the one who set everything up has two new partners that haven't been along for the ride, have no background.
But they got a vote, right?
Yeah, they got a vote and they want a dividend or they may want to sell out and they don't understand that, hey, they were working towards that bigger goal. So these are the things that you have to plan ahead of time.
Mm. What if somebody is set up as a trustee, but they've never seen the trust before? What's the first move that they need to make upon the passing of the person that
I don't have any stats to support that, but I think that's probably how it goes a lot of the time.
Maybe they don't see it.
Yeah,
they don't know what it,
because,
what's in
it. And that could be to what you talked about on other shows too, about this mindset of the parents not wanting to disclose certain things and have the open conversation. But that's a real scenario. And lots of people get thrust into that situation and it's extremely emotional. Mm-hmm. And again, emotions and money don't mix. And so the idea there is this best way you could do with that is teaching the guardrails. And you can create summaries and we help do some of this stuff too. We're not attorneys by any means, but just translating the document, what it actually means, what you could expect if you are in the situation. Every year we're asking clients about that. Do you have a new role in somebody else's estate plan that you didn't last year? So it's just again, going back to the theme here, which is having that conversation. That's the only way you're going to find out. But I think you're right, Tracy. There's many scenarios where they've never seen the document until their parents are gone.
And then what do they do? What do they do first? I mean,
if they're smart, they'll get an attorney involved.
Okay.
An attorney gets involved. Somebody like us can help overlook their shoulder as well. Just get another set of eyes on things. You probably want to loop in a CPA because there's probably tax issues. Mm-hmm. So you really have to circle the wagons and just make sure that you're talking to the right people.
Mm-hmm. Get your team.
And that's also where the governance could come into play. Sometimes you might be tying hands you don't want to tie. Mm-hmm. So the idea of if it's so simple, why am I making it complicated? Maybe you don't have to. So the idea of if this is where the money's supposed to go, maybe I don't need that trust I used to have. Maybe the kids are older now. Maybe I don't have the business I used to have. The concerns are gone. There might be reasons to consult with your attorney to say, can we simplify this? Mm-hmm. Can I just make it easier so that, you know, they could do what they wanted with it? And it's the opposite side.
What
maybe.
A nice problem to have.
Right? Yeah. And it happens, though, because then you think about what if those hands were tied when they shouldn't be? And that's a problem.
What's the biggest uh-oh moment you guys see when families skip a governance?
There's so many.
Yeah.
The biggest one, I think, is the siblings not getting along and they all have equal power. You just hit a stalemate. Nothing gets done. Yeah. Attorney bills rack up. And ultimately, the parents' wishes are not being carried out because of the conflict. Mm-hmm. That's a huge one. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes there's a trustee that somebody listed and it was maybe a friend of a friend and they forgot to update it and they're no longer, you know, have a relationship with that person. To your point, like updating beneficiaries. Well, what if it's somebody that actually would have an active role? Making sure you have contingencies listed and successors is a critical piece. But making a mistake with the people listing, the people you list in the documents and then not executing what you wished is a huge one.
Yeah, again, uh-oh moments when you think about uh-oh. I mean, I think of even more explicit terms maybe than uh-oh in some scenarios where if you didn't have the plan in the beginning and now you've had that health event come up and you're trying to schedule with an attorney or you're trying to think about your last wishes and you know what, I've got a lot of stuff I need to deal with. I got to fight the good fight, but I also got to schedule with a new attorney. I got to get trusts drafted. That's an uh-oh. That's a, you know what, out of all these things I have going on, now I've got to do this. That's where I think planning ahead, having a plan, documenting it, then updating it will make it a lot easier when that moment comes up.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is that you don't want to be on your deathbed having to update documents.
Yeah, you're
make
right.
Last minute adjustments,
yeah, right.
Like that. That'd be a major.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've seen it.
Yeah. That's, I can't imagine.
Attorneys literally going to the hospital to get documents signed.
Oh, wow.
That's last minute good. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's sometimes the oddities, you know, one spouse passed away when it was so obvious maybe that the other one would be the first one to pass and life happened, something came up and you know what we thought might have been the order didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then you have things like that where maybe that other spouse already had a diminished capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, that operating spouse maybe was their power of attorney. They were the one making all the decisions. And if something happened to them, now what? And that's where contingency and this governance structure really comes in.
When you said diminished capacity, that's another uh-oh scenario. Trying to get documents done after you're perhaps declared incompetent by a physician, that's a major problem. Another scenario I've seen play out too is if somebody, the parent in this case, would have a diminished capacity or maybe some dementia going on, it's not caught by an attorney or professional and they go in and start changing documents and naming other people as beneficiaries, bypassing other family members, that would be a major, I keep wanting to say something else.
Because part of governance isn't just the who gets to do what, but it also helps protect the estate and the fraud aspect. So yes, I want to impart my values and, hey, take a trip to Disney every year, that kind of thing. But I also want to make sure that you're not approached by all these people trying to get you into these bad business deals or something. So by having a governance structure, there may be a way to say, you know what, how can we avoid this? And that's also important.
Yeah, great points. Sounds like everybody needs to be on the same page.
Might not be that kind of kumbaya type setup in your family, which is fine, but do the best you can to forecast the what-if type scenarios. You're not going to get every single one. It's impossible.
Yeah.
But just play it out in your mind. It's not fun to think about. People don't like to think about their demise, but you could be creating a bigger mess when you're not here. I don't think anybody wants to leave.
You brought us full circle. Having that conversation is tough enough. Mm-hmm. And for many people, it's not something they want to even discuss. They put it off and put it off. You deal with it. And then before long, it's right here.
It's a double whammy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to talk about death. I'm going to duck my head in the sand on that one. And then if I have issues with my family or something contentious there, I probably want to avoid that one too and don't want to pull that one out. Right. So the two of those together are where some of these terrible scenarios come up where you have to own it, take control now. And there may not be a perfect solution, mm-hmm. but to craft something now is going to be better than the alternative.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great tie into the end of the show. I guess as is usual, put your team together, your professionals, your CPA, your attorney, your certified financial planner. Thank you for joining us today. We hope we've given you some great tips, and we hope you'll give us a call if you need any help. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll come back.
Media. Think big.